T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Just under two to play in the fourth. Nowitzki for three. Yes!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We're down to five. Jordan putting moves on Russell. We're down to two. Now to one. Here's Jordan. Yes! It is all over. The Chicago Bulls have won at the buzzer in game one of the freshman seven on a jump shot by Michael Jordan.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Two in the row, City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague and Andy Johnson in with you on this Monday afternoon.
What is happening?
A lot.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on, man.
No doubt about it. But the sun's out.
The sun is out. At least when the world is burning, at least the weather's nice outside. Mm. You know, like imagine if all of this stuff was going on in the middle of November and it was like 42 and raining every day and getting dark at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you got to find the bright side of life sometimes. And the weather is beautiful.
Yeah, the weather is beautiful.
It's very nice. You get it to get a tan on if you want to. You know, you got that going for you a little bit.
Oh, man. The balance of hosting a radio show today.
If you want some good positive news, too. Now,
I think we've got good positive news we could talk about today.
I'm going to knock on wood here real quick.
Okay.
Because I don't want to jinx myself.
Yeah. No, you never want that.
But yesterday, so we had a long drive back. I got back yesterday, and I didn't eat anything on the drive back. It's about a four-hour drive.
You know, good for you.
I didn't. Well, hold on. Let me finish the story.
Oh. Okay.
That was a little premature.
That drive back sucks.
It's a long drive. It's a long drive, right? So you find a way to kind of break through whatever. You finally get back, and we get back into town. Fiance hadn't eaten anything yet. She kind of felt like eating crap food. I kind of felt like eating crap food. So I did a double dip of drive-through. She wanted McDonald's, so I went and got her some chicken nuggies.
Mm-hmm.
Got her the nuggies with the sauces, the dipping sauces.
Did you get her the right toy?
I did get her the right toy. She got the one you can play with. You know, it's a whole thing, right? Wait, well, okay, excuse me. Don't pull that. And so then next door to the McDonald's, I was like, you know what? I was thinking McDonald's initially. And then I thought, you know what? I don't really want McDonald's. There's a Taco Bell right next door. I want Taco Bell.
Okay. First of all, I hit Taco Bell up in Coos Bay.
Okay.
Okay. Because we went to Bandon over the weekend. It was a work trip.
Work trip,
was
yeah.
Friday, like afternoon. Hey, can you guys go to Bandon tomorrow?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll drop everything. So we went. I hit Taco Bell up on the way back because all I had eaten prior to that, before we played a round,
this was on you. This was on you.
No, I know. I'm taking accountability here.
Okay.
I had a yogurt parfait.
Yeah, we all had like an actual manly breakfast, and Sprague ate a yogurt parfait.
I wanted to keep it light. We're walking 18, whatever.
You need to fuel the fire.
I kind of thought that, but I was fine. I was okay. I got through the round. I wasn't exhausted by whole 10. I got through 18. About the time I loaded the stuff up into the car and had to then make my way back home.
You're hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. My energy is starting to drain.
No substance.
So I hit Taco Bell up. Now, before I share my Taco Bell story, I just want to say this to you. I give you a lot of credit in this because I am not built like that. If I feel more like one versus this, I will still go to the one I don't feel like, because if one person or two people ask, can I get McDonald's, I'm not doing two drive-thrus.
You're just going to get what you want at McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm going to suck it up and say, I'm eating McDonald's. So I at least commend you for that.
It's just a whole nother level of fatness, man. You haven't reached that level yet where you go one to the next.
You were so anti that you said, yeah, I'm going to go across the street and wait in that drive-thru too.
I did. And they were right next door to each other. So it's perfect. Right there in good old Milwaukee. You got McDonald's and Taco Bell right next door to each other. So I went and loaded up. Now, I have not had this. I know, surprise. Surprising statement. I have not had Taco Bell in a very long time. Very long time. And we know what it can do to the stomach.
Yeah.
I'm knocking on wood.
Mm-hmm.
So far. Now, I even thought about tweeting last night, like, pray for my bowels because this could get ugly. So far, we're looking good. Now, I don't know if I have just built up over years and years a tolerance and an immunity to the effects of Taco Bell, or if it is to come. And this gets back. I don't want to jinx myself yet, but so far, pretty proud of my body so far.
So I was okay. I got a soft taco and a bean burrito.
That's all you got?
Well, it was something to hold me over on the drive.
Okay.
You know, just enough to get, you can wake up, drive now.
Nice and light.
Because Bandon is kind of far. It's, four-hour drive?
Yeah, it took about, I think, just a hair over 4 hours to get back. Yesterday.
And in the drive-through process, it's super long. And you're waiting there and everybody's being patient. You know what I realized yesterday? Why does Taco Bell even have value meals? Nobody orders. You don't go to Taco Bell. Give
meal,
me a number four.
You never get the meal.
You're always going off the script rando, right? Give me a bean burrito, chicken enchilada, quesadilla.
You improvise.
And a Coke. I've never been in a car with somebody and gone, can I get the number five? And I've never done that. I'm always ordering.
No, you don't get the meals.
Yeah, I'm always ordering the most famous ones that you can think of from Taco Bell, and I'm just putting them together. Taco Bell value menus or value meals are the stupidest thing they have.
It's irrelevant unless you're going to package like six random things together and have those be your meal.
Grande meals don't count. I mean, when you're ordering for a party and I used to get that with Buds.
You get like 800 soft tacos.
Yeah, it would be like four soft tacos and like four bean burritos. You remember when this came out, the Grande meal?
You just kind of join it up for everybody.
What they don't tell you is that meal used to cost $7 for all of that. And now it costs like 15. They don't tell you that.
It's such a screaming deal back in the day.
But everybody in front of me, our windows are all down and it's Coos Bay. It's not very busy. You can hear the four cars in front of me ordering and they're all going, bean and cheese. Yeah, bean and cheese burrito. They're just doing randoms. And I just look at the menu and I go, I mean, you need a menu.
There's a little pressure when you get to the Taco Bell window because I never know exactly what I want when I pull up.
Sure.
You look around and they say, okay, we're ready to take your order. And you're kind of gandering and it takes you a while. You're like, all right, I'm going to zone in on a couple of things here. But that's why the Taco Bell window always takes the longest.
Yeah.
Is because you're freestyling once you get up there. You're not just saying, give me a number four with a Coke.
Right.
Which is easy. And I think the main reason for that, like, you're going to get the value meal at most places because it comes with fries. Like if you're going to a burger joint, you're going to get a meal because you want the whatever burger or whatever thing you want, and then you want a fry with it, and then, hey, throw in a drink, I'm going to take the drink too. It's mainly for the fry effect. You don't have that at Taco Bell. There's not like the one main side that everybody wants to get.
Well, I was trying to think of fast food joints. I think Taco Bell's the lone wolf here. Now, I'm not saying you don't go to McDonald's and order two double cheeseburgers and a milkshake or something random, right? I've done plenty of that.
Sure.
But I also have my times where I go, can I get the double quarter pounder meal?
Right.
Medium,
you
large,
get, you
whatever.
You get the quarter pounder, you get the fry, and you get the drink.
I mean, any fast food joint you can think of, primarily you're ordering off their value menu.
Yeah.
And
Not the case.
Meal deals at Taco Bell?
Not the case at T-Bell.
I also just think they missed the mark. They don't realize how much Taco Bell people order. Right. Do you go to Taco Bell and get a taco and a burrito and that's it?
No, you got to get four plus things.
Right? If I was eating dinner, I'd get far more than a soft taco and a bean burrito. But their value meals are always like Cinny Twists and a Mountain Dew and a burrito.
Yeah,
it's like,
come on, that's not enough.
That's not enough food.
That's not going to feed this beast. Are you kidding me?
What are we playing this game for?
Three items? What, are you crazy? It's got to be at least five plus.
Not that anybody cares, but for the record, I hit the under.
You did. I think everybody hit the under. Everybody hit the under.
You were balling, my man.
Dude, I had a pretty good round.
And
I had a pretty good round.
Trust me, we're going to get to a lot of different random things today.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I hope you're all doing well out there and you're doing okay. I know it's a very weird time right now, but in terms of the banding round, because we talked about this on Friday and we tweeted some stuff out over the weekend, my over-under was 110. I shot a 101.
You did.
I got a whole theory about this. You can identify probably 50 bad shots in a round of golf,
sure,
right? If you're not a PGA golfer.
Sure.
I kind of figured out, I think you really narrow it down to two instances in a round. So mine were back to back. Par three, hit it right on the edge of the green. Here we go. Birdie or par situation.
Feeling good.
Bogey. The very next
hole, you
hit it up. You're on the green, or the hole before you hit on the green. You're sitting on, you're going to hit three. So it's a birdie par situation.
Mm-hmm.
Bogey.
Yeah.
Those two holes stuck out from my mind of like, oh, if I just don't do that, I hit a 99.
You would have broke 100.
And golf.
You were that close to breaking 100.
That close to breaking 100.
And we set your over-under at 110.
I know.
You just had to get under 110, man. You breezed underneath that thing.
We did. And we got a caddy for the group of us.
We did. Rusty. Rusty was the man.
Rusty was a really nice guy.
What a great job, by the way.
Yes and no. I think for his particular instance, great. If you're a PGA Tour caddy, no thanks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more pressure that goes in on that. But he was just walking around, hanging out, getting some sun. He was having a great time.
Well, and he loved dirt.
Yeah, he was a big fan.
He was a huge fan of dirt.
He was a big fan of my golf swing.
I think because he only remembered four of the five people's names. I am 100% sure he forgot my name. He called me Bud the whole round.
He'd give you a lot of buds. A
lot of buds. He called dirt, dirt, and he loved dirt swing. He said, dirt swing is the prettiest thing I've ever seen. And by the way, he's caddied for Reggie Jackson, Reggie Bush.
Suck it, Reggie.
Star athletes.
I got a better golf swing than you.
And he was telling me three different times, I was just walking with him and the group was ahead of us, and he would just go, he's got such a good swing. I'm like, okay, well, you know, okay, I'm not him, and I'm a crappy golfer, so you don't make me feel better. He knew Dusty's name because it's Dusty. That's, you know, it's not a very common name.
Yeah.
Luke was the one that set everything up, and then Swag went by Swag. So it's like everybody had a cool nickname or a unique way to stick out. I was just Brandon.
Well, your name kind of sounds like the course that you played on. Now, that would you feel like that would be easy to remember.
Yeah, Brandon, we argued. Bandon. There was a hat that said just in capital letters Bandon across the front.
Yeah,
and we felt like you should have bought that hat
because
it's kind of close, and you could have even sharpied a little R in there if you wanted to, and just had your name right across the front of the hat.
I don't think I want to use a Sharpie to change things.
It's Bandon, but Brandon, get it?
That would be a really bad look. That's for certain. But we got to play Sheep Ranch. It's opening today. We'll have some more details on this today and tomorrow, coincidentally, because we're going to do an interview tomorrow about it. But played Sheep Ranch. We're one of a few group. We're lucky enough to get the, you know, this is.
It was incredible, man.
Pay not be great in radio, but I'll tell you, sometimes the perks are awesome. So we're very fortunate in that regard. And it is a beautiful course. We passed Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe was out there.
We saw Matt Ryan hammered at the restaurant.
We did. My buddy Matt Ryan. He didn't remember me from the Masters, unfortunately.
You have to become a Matt Ryan fan now, right?
I'm okay with that. I'm cool. I keep bumping into Matt Ryan at places. I'm okay rooting for him.
I feel like you and Matt Ryan are actually best friends.
You also contemplated making a 28-3 joke, which would have caused a brawl in the restaurant and wouldn't have ended well.
It wouldn't have. He was with his college bros.
Yeah.
And they looked
28-3.
Yeah. They had a big frat boy vibe to them. There's like nine of them. And they were just having a good time, you know, hanging out with their friends and having some beverages. And I thought, how much would I have to pay anybody at this table to stay up and go 28-3, 28-3.
People don't forget.
But it's a really interesting time right now. We got a busy show today. Let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Also, we got a story by Jason Swigart out at Bandon. It's going to piss you off.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you the story and you're not going to enjoy it.
Come on,
Swigart. But we need to share this nonetheless. And I will not name names. Somebody else can name names. I will not name names. I shot a 101 and I didn't have the worst score of our group. That's all I'll say.
You did not have the worst score of the
group.
That
is all I will say.
You did not finish in last place.
Yes.
You did not.
Second to last, yeah.
Yes.
I'll take it, but.
I enjoyed Dusty got to the 18th hole, and his over-under was 100 as well. And he hit the really bad tee shot, like 10 yards off the tee box. And it's a long par 5, and he started counting, okay, I need an 11 on this hole to hit my under. Because he was at like 88. I think he threw up a 7 or an 8, but he undered 100 as well.
All right, so we got a lot to get to. The NFL whip around. Joe's in today. And Joe was driving around yesterday. I'd actually like to hear your thoughts on what you saw.
What's up, Joe?
Joe was with the people.
Hello.
He was with the people yesterday.
Yes, he was. And I want to get to this. Actually, I want to get to this coming up next. The sports role in all of this with what is going on right now and the way that sports... There's a couple athletes that have said something that I think it should resonate with everybody. No matter how you're feeling today, it should resonate with everybody. So we got a lot to get to. Let's just start it because we're already over the clock. What's on Tap brought to you in the van by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. The sports responsibility in this and how you can learn from sports that some athletes are pointing out. I thought this was a really good point. Anthony Newman's going to join us for the Daily Ticker. Uncle Anthony at 12:30 coming up. He'll hang out with us. He's one of our good friends, one of our favorites on the show. Anthony Newman, former Oregon Duck, will join us. It's going to be a busy show today. Dirt and Sprague, happy to be here. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. We're back with more on The Fan.
Now, here's a quick look at Portland.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Pac-12 just announced something. We're going to get to that. In terms of like having their football season, which a lot of people have interest in, obviously. But it's a weird last couple days. Like you get an opportunity to go play a place like Bandon and you're taking that opportunity every time. I'm not even the most avid of golfers, but I've heard about that place forever. And you get this rare once in a moment situation. We jumped at the chance and we drove over there and They couldn't have been more gracious, more kind, really funny, great people, like truly, truly nice, good people. And it was kind of a cool getaway, some interesting little, like, we ate in one of the restaurants and we all realized, God, I haven't eaten in a restaurant forever.
It was a really weird and great at the same time feeling because it had been a long time since we had done it.
Super dialed in. Everybody's wearing masks on the premises that works there. Like, they're handling everything very, very carefully. And at the same time as we're getting away, you're having the protests and the looting and the rioting. And it's crazy in a lot of different cities. And
we got down Saturday afternoon and they put us out on the Bandon Preserve par 3 and we got done playing. We ate dinner. And then all of us went back and our rooms were right next to each other. You and I stayed together and Swag and Dusty stayed together. And we just kind of Swag brought a couple of bottles of wine down and we just had a few nightcaps down there. And it was all we could even talk. Like, we're in the middle of being abandoned, and all we could do was get back to the hotel room, sit there, watch the news, and just kind of try and figure out what the hell's going on.
I mean, we're abandoned, right? So it's like, oh, okay, you guys are like at the... Well, anyways, we're way away, and we have no idea what's going on. Wake up in the morning, you're reading about what happened, and it's a terrible, tough situation, and... it's a very uneasy feeling personally. I don't know how anybody else feels. If you don't, then that's cool. But, for me personally, it's a very uneasy feeling. And, you know, the one thing I was thinking about was getting back from Bandon and how do you approach doing a show today? And we got good sports topics. I got a question I want to ask people. We got a swag story we'll get to. I thought a couple athletes sent the right message in regards to just things that could help maybe unify us more than divide us. I anybody asking or preaching for division right now is literally the worst possible thing you could be doing in this instance. And I think you should reconsider those ideas because you're really only going to be asking for an even more troubling time. But Brian Arakpo, you remember him?
I do. Defensive end.
Played in the NFL for a long time. He's a Nashville staple. Actually, is he still playing?
I don't think he's still playing, but okay. Let me look it up.
Because his thing says new beginning, tighten up, et cetera. And Patrick Mahomes, I thought both shared something that really resonates or should resonate with everybody. If you play team sports at almost any level, elementary school, middle school, college, what have you, I think right now it's just like this doesn't need to be a divisive issue. It needs to be something that kind of brings us together. And Arakpo and Mahomes put both in their messages. A lot of people are sending out, hey, this is my views. Here you go. And they're mm-hmm. sharing. And I think they're messaging on how do you grow up in a locker room or how do you play with teammates? And almost all of us that played had teammates of different race and, mm-hmm. and everything. How do you have differing feelings than people protesting? And I think that's a thing to remember is that sports is kind of that unifier, right? We all get in a stadium. We're all cheering for the same thing. A lot of us are going through different things. Some people's lives are amazing. Some people's lives are really tough. But for that 2 to 3 to 4 hours, depending on what event you go to, everybody's kind of in it together. And I, as dumb as it may seem, I do think for all the people who want to say athletes should just shut up and play sports or shut up and stick to your lane or shut up and keep society or politics or whatever out of life, I find athletes could actually be the most or some of the most beneficial people for us right now, because if there's one thing we all agree on, it's that we all love Damian Lillard.
right.
And
no matter what side of the issue you're
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And yeah. if that can bring you together in certain moments, why can't it bring you together now?
Well, by the way, Arakpo out of the league in 2018 was his last year.
You.
So he's been
thank
retired
you.
For a year and a half now. But I agree with you. I think we look up to athletes, whether it's right or wrong. We look to them as influential members of our society, and their voices can carry some weight. I think another guy who's done actually a pretty decent job in the last day, and I was kind of unplugged from stuff as much as I could be on Twitter, but just last night kind of checking on things, scrolling through, I thought LeBron pointed out a couple of really good things. Now, when you turn on the news, a lot of it's going to be about the anarchy that's spreading and the fires that are getting started, right? I mean, the ugly side of protests
yeah.
are what is going to draw eyeballs to news channels, right? Like when you're showing rioters breaking into a building and burning stuff, like that's what is going to get people to watch and get your ratings.
I wish we could separate those two terms, by
and
the way.
I do
anarchy
too.
And protesting.
I do too.
They don't need to be lumped together.
They're not. And LeBron, I thought, did a good job, just at least yesterday in what I saw on Twitter, highlighting there are very well-planned out peaceful protests that are happening all over this country. And
yeah.
there was one that he showed in D.C. And honestly, I didn't see this anywhere else on Twitter. So without him, I wouldn't have seen it. And the video now has over like 7 million views. But it's a bunch of people in Washington, D.C., just, you know, peacefully standing in a park, chanting. There's no violence. There's no yelling. There's no animosity. There's no vitriol. They're just chanting, you know, different kind of rallying slogans. And then the same thing was happening in Colorado, where they all went to the Capitol and they peacefully laid down for 9 minutes in a show of support, of course, for what happened to George Floyd. And they chanted, I think I can't breathe. And then they got up and that was kind of the end of it. And I thought it was a good message as well of showing like, all right, I know. It's easy to get wrapped up in all the negativity and all the devastation that has happened in certain communities, but there's also very successful peaceful protests that are happening in the country right now.
Yeah, the damaging and the looting and all of that, like clearly we've all seen the videos, no matter what social media platform we use primarily, we've all seen it. And you know, for the small businesses and the mom and pops, a lot of these big corporations, I'm not okaying this, but a lot of big corporations, they're going to be okay. They'll figure it out. They'll get their stuff replaced. A lot of businesses that are going to really struggle to get that, and you feel for them, but it does need to be highlighted. Those are completely separate from the people who are respectfully
right.
and consistently protesting the horrific murder of an individual. I also couldn't help but think back to our interview from Friday. We talked with Matthew Collar in mm-hmm. Minnesota. And I mentioned I have a cousin. He lives in Minnesota, and you know, he wasn't involved the first couple days. Yesterday, they had a big protest set up in the middle of the day. In Minnesota, they all just peacefully sat down. I mean, he said there was thousands of people sitting down for 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then he sent another picture of them marching in Minnesota across a bridge. And you look on the bridge, and it's, you know, pretty big bridge. Packed.
Just jam-packed.
Packed with people. Now, obviously, COVID going on, there's everybody making those, hey, COVID's going to come. Right. But for just specifically this topic, there are tons of peaceful things that people are doing and doing it the right way. And look, Killer Mike kind of highlighted this. If you don't know who Killer Mike is, he's an activist, kind of, he's in the hip-hop game, and he's really well-known. So look him up if you haven't. He gave a great impromptu speech in Atlanta, just given his real raw emotions on it. And he said it really well. He's like, obviously you don't want anybody hurt. You hate seeing damage. CNN, he highlighted CNN because CNN got broken into their headquarters in Atlanta. Said karma's a mother. Like all of these news channels, all they want to highlight is the negatives and they want to do something that's going to rile you and I up. And the fact that we as a country do not recognize this yet is it's beyond me. And I don't claim to be the smartest person. I don't claim to know the most about sports, politics, life, anything. We all have our differing views. It's unbelievable that you can watch the news for 20 minutes and not just see the clear division it creates in the emotions you feel when you watch Fox or CNN or something like that. It riles you up. I mean, did you see the guy with the bow and arrow?
I did see him.
This old white guy gets a bow and arrow and he wants to kind of shoot protesters or looters and rioters. And he's aiming his bow and he finally gets jumped by a group of people. Most of them were all white. He got interviewed. By the way, didn't get arrested, got interviewed. His face is bleeding. He said he was jumped by black people. That is where we're at.
Right.
Like it's on camera. You're getting pummeled by a group of white people and then you get interviewed and you're placing blame. So the division is just, it's bad, man. And I just thought sports figures, as stupid as it can be sometimes, as cheesy as it may be sometimes, there's a lot of sports figures that can resonate with us and they can share ideas and they can share thoughts and feelings that a lot of people don't get out or have anybody hear. There was Steven Jackson, Udonis Haslam. There were a lot of pro athletes this weekend that were involved peaceful protests. Malcolm Jenkins was in Philly marching with people. Mm-hmm. They matter. And we poo-pooed this with the Kaepernick stuff. Well, now it's riled back up on an even worse level. And I just think it's important. It's okay to listen to your favorite pro athletes. You can differ from them in a lot of regards, but they can get a message across. They can unify us. They do it on a weekly and almost a nightly basis when sports is being played.
Yeah, they can resonate to people that maybe don't often follow the news or aren't closely paying attention. And even locally, if you want to use an example too, and this will lead into Anthony, who we're going to talk to in a moment.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal down in Eugene. They had a big peaceful protest down in Eugene.
Right.
And he took not only himself, but I think a number of coaches on the staff, and they were all there wearing masks, just standing around peacefully protesting, not causing any harm, obviously. But clearly this is resonating with a lot of people. And I think a lot of us are asking the question, how can I make a difference? How can I make some change? How can I have an impact in any way, shape, or form? And peaceful protesting, as long as you're not causing trouble, is always a good way to do it.
Well, and, you know, I thought of Anthony because Anthony is, you know, he's been in Oregon a long time now. He is one of the better Oregon football players to ever lace him up. He's had a lot of success in the high school ranks and coaching. And I find him to be a joy to kind of talk to him. That's why we interview him on as much as we can during football season. I'd like to ask him that question. What can people do now?
Yeah.
Like, what's important right now? Let's talk with Anthony Newman, former Oregon Duck. He's going to join us coming up next on the Daily Ticker. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on in our city and throughout the country. Anthony Newman joins us next, but first, Joe with a sports update.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, wild weekend in the country, locally, kind of everywhere. So we're going to bring on our good friend Anthony Newman, one of our favorites, former Oregon Duck, obviously NFL player, and killing the coaching game here in Oregon for sure, man. You've had a lot of success. Thanks for coming on with us. How you doing?
I'm doing good, for what it's worth, yeah. with all this craziness. But my family, we're all, you know, locked up in our house, and we're doing fine.
Well, and what, just kind of your thoughts, Anthony, of the last few days here, maybe locally and throughout the country, of what you've seen?
Well, there's two things. You know, you got the pandemic that's going on, which is, it's been a problem. And then you add the riots and the injustice that's going on in our country. That's tough. You know, my kids are shocked with what's happening, and they're young, and you know, they weren't around a long time ago to see the injustice that was happening before, mm-hmm. when it was really riled up, it's shocking for them, and for them to hear the stories that I give them from my own father, who was from the South and grew up to be a police officer here in Portland, Oregon. So they're taking this all in, you know, going, wow, this is absolutely crazy. And it's crazy for me as well. I mean, you know, I keep going back to what Will Smith, great actor, said the other day, and maybe he got it from somewhere else. He said, you know, injustice, racism has been around for a long time, and it's still going on today. It's just now that everybody's filming it, because right. everybody has a phone that can videotape it. So now we're all seeing it, and everybody's seeing it, and so it's a little wild right now.
Well, and we were just talking, Anthony, about the impact that sports figures can have on this, and we've seen a lot of different athletes and coaches and kind of people step up with statements and showing up to peaceful protests and just being a part of the process. You also saw it in Eugene. Mario Cristobal showed up to a protest. I think a couple other members of the coaching staff as well. Just what kind of message does that send, and then what kind of impact do you think athletes and coaches can have in a moment like this?
Well, I think it's huge, because here's the deal. When you have a football team and you have a bunch of young men that are looking up to their coach, and their coach is a different race than they are, but that's their coach. That's the guy that they love. That's the guy that came into their house and told their mom and dad that, I will take care of your kids when I take them far away. Those kids are looking for those actions of what's the coach going to do? You know, what steps is he going to take? Is he going to say anything? Is he going to do something? And then for Mario to go out and be, you know, one of the protesters and be a part of that, that's huge for that football team. It really is. And when you look at a football team, guys, you know, I've always said this. When you get on a football team, you know, the racism, 99% of it, it's gone. It's out the window. You got white, you got black, you got Asian, you got whatever nationality that's on that football team, you're one family. And it's all about you against the world. And when you come on that football team, when you come to practice, or you come in that locker room, the racism is gone, and you feel different. And everybody cares about you, and it doesn't matter what color you are. You'll hug everybody. You'll kiss everybody on that football team. They're your brothers. But then when you walk out of the locker room, when you get in your car, everything goes back to normal again. Mm-hmm. And so when these kids on this football team see their leader go out there and be a part of the protest and understand the injustice that's going on, they're going to be a powerful football team, just because they're going to play for their coach. Their coach has their back. That's what they see. And I think it ignites those kids to work harder, to play harder, to be as one, and you wish this country could do the same.
Yeah for sure. Former Oregon Duck Anthony Newman, NFL player as well, now coaching high school here in the state of Oregon. He's one of our favorite guests here on Dirt and Spray here on The Fan. You know, I remember when the Ferguson things were happening a few years back, that was kind of, it sparked on social media, and people were seeing images and videos and detailing how crazy it was. But does this one feel different? People have highlighted this. I've seen different individuals have highlighted, yeah, we said this the last time, and then the last time, and this one, I mean, it's still going. They're protesting on the East Coast now. They're probably going to protest again on the West Coast tonight. Does this one feel different to you, Anthony?
Yes, it really does. Maybe you have more cities that are involved. You see more just the black community involved. It's everybody. So it's everybody against racism. That's what it comes down to. And you see more people united of all color coming together for this injustice and saying enough is enough. I mean, you know, there's It's real funny, and it's real simple. You sit there, and somebody keeps breaking into your home. You keep telling the people, hey, the police, hey, they keep breaking into my home. You know, every day somebody breaks into my home. You keep weeks and weeks and weeks go by, and you go, man, they keep breaking into my home. At one point, you're going to go, no, enough's enough. I'm tired of this crap. Yeah. Okay, this is the last time this is going to happen. I see, you know, in this country, and maybe across, you know, around the world that, okay, we can't have this anymore. Guys, yeah, you know, we keep saying, okay, we need to have meetings, we need to talk, but something has to happen now. And that's what you're seeing across this country. Now, I condone the looting and all the BS stuff that goes with it. You're supposed to have the peaceful protests. But at one point, people are saying, well, you got to see me. You got to hear me. Now, I don't want to see you taking stuff out of somebody's store. That's idiotic, stupid, and now you're taking from somebody else who is an innocent bystander. But how do you get the point across that you guys can't do this anymore? And guys, I don't know how much time we have, but I just, you know, for me and Andy, we've been doing things together and running around together. But sometimes you guys don't understand where I come from and how I was raised. But I was raised in Portland, Oregon, and I didn't have a lot of things going on. But my father brought me up because he brought me up in a way to protect myself. And he was a Portland police officer. And he was the third black police officer hired in the state of for the Portland police. And as parents, they were my role models. They teach you the rights and wrongs and all the things. And there's one speech that I know a lot of parents, or I should say white parents, don't have these speeches growing up. It's the speech of how to survive being pulled over by the police. As a young black man, he taught me how to survive being pulled over by the police. And that's crazy. And he's a police officer telling me how to survive the police and how to do it and the things that you need to do to stay alive so you don't get beaten, shot, embarrassed. That's crazy. And most of my friends, a lot of them are white. Their parents said that we never had those talks. I know. That's the injustice that's going on. So as a black man, again, when you're on that football team, you feel as one. When I get in my car and all of a sudden I start driving down the street, down Franklin or whatever, it's a different story. Now I'm back to realism. Uh-oh, am I going to get pulled over? And what do I need to do to stay alive?
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah, that's the one thing we were talking about last week, too, is just it's hard to speak on things that we've never had to deal with and how, you know, telling people how they should feel when we've not had to experience any of those things that some other people have had to go through. How much has, I guess, the relations in this area changed for you? I mean, you mentioned you're from here, you grew up here, played football here, University of Oregon, high school here. You've been around in the area a long time. Have you seen a lot of progress? How much did you have to deal with when you were back in your playing days?
You know, I'm fortunate. I didn't have to really deal with it. I've never really seen it in my face, to be honest. And I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm not going to lie. I'm surrounded by love of all colors. The teams that I've coached on, it's Central Catholic, with the Ducks, in my community where I live, my neighbors. I'm the lucky one. I really am, and I raise my kids to be on guard. But they haven't really been involved as well. You know, I've had a few incidents growing up when I was, back in the late 70s, things happened, but nothing major. So I'm just kind of seeing it from afar, realistically, you know. But my father, you know, and my mother, yes, they went through it. And more so my father growing up in the city, you know, being a young black man going to the military and then being one of the first police officers in Portland, Oregon that's black. He's been around it big time.
Yeah.
And so I hear from him and hear all the things that you have to, how you protect yourself and how you deal with people and how they have to understand. And so I've seen change over time growing up here. No doubt about it. Growing up here, yes, I've seen change. But it's not enough. It's not. And for the kids that are in some of the areas that are, mostly black, they feel injustice. And I totally agree with them because it is. And it's not just the black. You're talking all races. You know, it's not just black. It's all race. And it needs to change.
Yeah.
Anthony, I'll get you out here on this one, man. We do appreciate you stopping in today to talk, given everything that happened over the weekend. We were talking pre-show because every coach and player sends out, like, here's my message, right? And it's usually like, I'm anti-racism, I stand, you know, for equal rights, all that. But I feel like I've seen these same messages from the same people for the last couple of years and nothing's changed. Now, I don't know if anything's going to change from this, but for those out there that just don't, they don't want to post on Instagram of, yeah, Black Lives Matter and that's it, and then never do anything. What would you tell, like, I mean, just being frank, there's three white guys doing a radio show today. What would you tell people that really want to help or make a difference outside of obviously going to a riot or something like that?
Well, it's just the support that you give to the black community, meaning you're right. You got three white guys sitting up in the studio and you're going, okay, well, we've never dealt with this before. What do we say? Should we be silent, you know, and not say anything because I'm scared to say something across the line, or should we say something? And it's a couple of basic things you say. It's hey, there's injustice and it needs to change, and we are with you. We don't know what you're going through, and being, like I said, when you're being honest, you got to be honest and talk about, I don't know what you're dealing with. I have no idea, but it's wrong. And it shouldn't happen. And somehow, can we find a way to make this happen with our leadership, with people in charge of this country? How can we make this change? And we'll do anything that we can to help your cause. Those words right there, that's enough. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get into this big thing where you got to, you know, go out, do all this crazy stuff. Do what you feel is comfortable. And you know, those are the words that I would, if I was, you know, a white guy sitting around and I felt the injustice, I'd be simple, I'd be straightforward and to the point.
Yeah. Anthony Newman, former Oregon Duck NFL player, a good friend of the show. Thank you so much, Anthony, for coming on today to talk about this. I'm sure we'll be talking about football in just a couple months as more and more optimism about the season starting on time continues to emerge. So thank you so much for hopping on today, my man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Anthony Newman, former Oregon Duck, lifelong Oregonian. Anthony Newman, J.J. Burden camp, which was always the biggest deal for me growing up.
That was a huge deal, man.
To go to that camp, and he is just a joy to speak with. So thank you so much to Anthony Newman for hopping on.
He is as nice and as genuine a person as you will ever meet.
He really is. I met him twice, and in the two times, I'm like, yeah. God, Anthony Newman's a really nice guy.
As nice as you could possibly be, and it was great just to hear from him, hear his experiences, and get some insight on what he's had to go through.
All right, we got some news on the Pac-12 as they try to roll out what would happen if they had a football season. We'll tell you what that is next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 1250, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080, The Fan. I hope your Monday afternoon's going all right. We got the NFL whip around coming up at 1 o'clock. There's so much going on in the NFL right now.
Let's whip around the league, baby. Whip it around.
Coming up next on the NFL whip around.
I got a couple of NFL stories to get to.
I got a couple nugs.
Okay.
We'll share our nugs.
Okay. Pass them along.
We might have football in the fall in college. And we joked about this weekend. The best thing about getting together with people and then like having a couple drinks is when we all just make fun of the same thing. And one thing that you, I, Dusty, Swag, Luke, we all talked about, we're drinking some whiskey, some really good whiskey, by the way.
Very good.
We're just joking about, oh, yeah, I can't wait till next week. We can talk about maybe baseball is coming back. Yeah. You know that whole rant we did a couple weeks ago of just every day. The big story is maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, we're getting closer to the hypotheticals being concrete. That's the landscape right now.
Woj said on ESPN this morning, and take this for what it's worth, Woj said on Thursday, that's the day.
We're going to know what that's going to look like on Thursday.
We will know on Thursday whether they're coming back. He believes it's going to be overwhelming support for 22 teams to go to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball.
It's this week for Major League Baseball. I know. It is this week. I'm not very optimistic.
But I don't have a feel for that optimistically.
No, they have a week. We'll know in the next week whether or not they're having a season because they have to have at least 3 weeks of a spring training. You got to get started by July. Whether you want to do 82 games or 110, which the owners are all balking at because they don't want to get into November. Yeah. They got a week to figure this out.
Well, the Pac-12 introduced their guidelines to play during COVID to 24/7 sports. So all student-athletes returning to campuses will be required to be tested for COVID-19 and will also undergo antibody testing. Larry Scott told 24/7 Sports the Pac-12 had previously not made its plans public as it approaches a voluntary June 15 date, allowing 12 institutions to return to voluntary workouts for the first time since mid-March. He said, quote, "We are going to have uniformity in the Pac-12. We've got a very strong medical advisory committee made up of our team docs and trainers, but we've got 7 or 8 infectious disease experts that are associated with these great university hospitals and medical research centers. They have specialists in this area, and the collaboration has been terrific." So along the lines of a couple other guidelines, the big one is that they're going to test every single week. He says, quote, that's going to require a level of collaboration and agreement. Mm-hmm. That is not always so easy in college sports, but I think people realize the importance of it, and I'm optimistic we'll get there. So it is a lot of testing they're going to need for the season to go on. But Larry Scott says they will test weekly, and when they come back, they will test. And say what you want. The jokes are out there. We know where the Pac-12 stands to the nation. I think Larry Scott and the Pac-12 look great today because the SEC or SEC-related schools, some of them have come out and said they're not going to test kids coming back.
Yeah, I think it was Arkansas, right? They said they weren't even going to test when they brought people back.
There was another one, too, Kentucky or something. I don't remember which one it was, but I'll have to look it up. But this, encouraging news.
This, it's almost amazing when you see a story like this, too, because you kind of get snapped back into focus of remembering that's right, there's a global pandemic going on right now as well. It's easy to forget about that in the current moment. This is a good look for the conference. I don't care what side of the issue you're on. I think we should always edge on the side of safety and caution and making sure that the players are going to be okay. It gets back to the point of, I know we're not worried about, for the most part, 18 to 22-year-olds and their health if they are to catch it, because there have been, again, no deaths on these campuses, in these communities for 18 to 22-year-olds. You're worried about the ripple effect of their family, their friends, the people they're able to see, what kind of quarantining they have to be under. There's just a lot that goes into that. So when the Pac-12 comes out with this kind of statement and you have a uniform policy, I love this. I think it makes them look strong. They're saying, we take this seriously. We care about the health and safety of our student-athletes. And is it going to be a pain in the ass to get tested every week? Yeah, but I'd be willing to bet that most players would say they're okay with it as long as it means that they get to play football. And it's amazing how much the messaging and the landscape of the narrative has changed. I mean, you go back 3 weeks ago, everybody was making fun of the conference because apparently we weren't going to play football next year and every other conference was going to move forward. And now we've, again, advanced a couple of weeks and we have a uniform testing policy or a testing policy in the conference. And it seems like everything's going to be a go. Now, will there be fans in the stadium and that kind of stuff? That's a whole other question that will be answered at a later date. But this is the right thing. The only part of the safety and health protocols that we have not seen yet, and this gets back to the question we ask for every sport, is what's the protocol when somebody tests positive, if it is to happen? Quarantine the team, shut them down for a week, quarantine the player. That's the only part of it that we haven't seen, but I always agree with siding on the edge of caution. That's what the Pac-12 is doing here, and I think it's smart.
Yeah. Looking through that 24/7 story, because it just came out about 10 minutes ago, so I was trying to look it up during the commercial break and while you were kind of chatting. I have not seen any guidelines quite yet. I'm sure they probably have them, but I haven't
for
seen them.
For a positive test.
What happened if they have positive tests?
I didn't see it in that article. Yeah.
I'll look some more throughout the show, and if we can find out that information, we'll gladly pass it along. I don't know what they're going to do there. I have a feeling what other schools in different regions of the country are going to do, but the Pac-12 might be different in this. Just it's kind of becoming a regionalized way to handle things. So, hey, the Pac-12 feels optimistic. Larry Scott did an interview not too long ago where he says he thinks everybody is on board and on schedule to be able to play football. And remember, and I think we said this last week, just to reiterate, Kate Brown did come out and publicly say she will not let Oregon or Oregon State fall behind some of the other schools within the Pac-12.
Nope.
So presumably we have a football season, but in our state, probably no fans. That's what I would say.
No fans or very limited fans, depending on, again, it's way too early to call it because we're months away, but what the landscape looks like at the end of August.
All right. Loaded second hour. We'll start with the NFL whip around. We'll go to the National Football League, talk some football. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.